What is it really like to raise twin boys? We'll be back with one of your favorite guests, Zoe Brown, TV and radio personality and mom to now 3.5-month-old twin boys. She is navigating the wild ride of double feeds, double cuddles, and the occasional double meltdown. But this week, there is a major win. The twins slept through the night, and we unpack how Zoe got there and what worked. In this episode, we'll talk honestly about sleep success and how to follow your baby's cues to build better nights. Tummy time struggles, and this is when one twin has a different milestone journey to the other. We talk a little bit about starting solids, how to spot when they're ready, and the boys are still a little small, but we still cover it off. And then we touch on postpartum fitness and motherhood identity. So today you're going to learn from this episode practical tools for twin routines and development, encouragement for postpartum connection and self-care, and then reassurance that even when the days are hard, you're not alone. So tune in now for a wonderful, heartwarming, honest chat with Zoe Brown.
Welcome to Sense by Megfora, the podcast that's brought to you by ParentSense, the app that takes guesswork out of parenting. If you're a new parent, then you are in good company. Your host, Megfora, is a well-known OT, infant specialist, and the author of 8 parenting books. Each week, we're going to spend time with new mums and dads just like you to chat about the week's wins, the challenges, and the questions of the moment. Subscribe to the podcast, download the ParentSense app, and catch Makia every week to make the most of that first year of your little one's life. And now, meet your host.
Welcome back, mums and dads. It is, as always, wonderful to have you join us. And today we are very fortunate because we have got our regular guest, media personality Zoe Brown, with us. And Zoe has got a handful today because she's holding little Jordan with her. So welcome, Zoe.
Oh, Meg, it's always so great to catch up with you. And yes, we have an extra guest today.
And what mums can't see is that we've actually got an extra 2 guests because your gorgeous kitty cat keeps passing the camera as well.
We do have our hands full with 2 cats and 2 babies. But, oh, you know what? We've always said yes to chaos and yes to adventures. And we're very grateful for where we are at right now.
That's amazing, Zoe. Well, you definitely look like you're winning at twin mumming because having twins is, I mean, a challenge that most singleton moms can't even comprehend. So the fact that you've got your, you know, you're managing as you are is really amazing. And then Zoe, as we normally do when I've got a regular guest on, I love to go through the wins and the challenges and the questions of the moment. So let's kick off with the wins. How old are the boys now and what are you seeing that is delightful at the moment?
So boys are now 3.5 months old. I'm losing track of the weeks. I think they're 16 weeks. But we are, I think our biggest win at the moment is last night we had our first full night's sleep. I've been trying to figure out their schedule. They've pretty much created their own schedule and I'm just like following along with it. That's so nice. Last night we did a feed at 7 p.m. and then we bath them afterwards. Normally we would bath them first and then feed. And so they were down by 8 o'clock. And then at about in the middle of the night, I woke up, one of them were fussing. So I just like went and popped the dummy in and it was Luke. And I looked at the time and it was 3 o'clock and I was like, oh, that's weird. That never happens. And I thought, okay, maybe the dummy will just give us an extra 20 minutes or so. And I fell asleep and I woke up again and I'm like, I'm done sleeping. I just don't know what the time is. And then when I had a look, it was almost 6 o'clock.
That's incredible. That is definitely sleeping through. And that is quite extraordinary because they are little to take it all the way to the morning then. And but it's great that they are. And I think you've probably put in place quite a few principles along the way that have led to this. Things like listening before you respond. And so that's really, really incredible. And that is a full night's sleep for sure. That is definitely a win when you've got a 16-week-old baby.
It's a win. I felt like such a new person, but I think it will truly be a win if it happens again tonight. I'm cautiously optimistic, but it's just one of those things. I think for me, it's just, I'm trying to figure out, you know, am I feeding them enough? Are we doing enough activities throughout the day? Because, you know, you, with two babies, by the time you're done with the feeding and the burping and the changing the nappy, the awake window is pretty much like it's
done.
We've chomped into it, especially in the mornings when I like to do a little top and tail where I just wipe their faces and their bums with a cloth. And then I feel like, okay, well, we haven't really done tummy time. We haven't done, it just feels like we don't do enough tummy time, but I'm pretty sure I'm not the only mom that feels that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And tummy time is certainly something that at this stage is very important. And so how many times a day do you think you're getting them into tummy time?
What I've been doing is when we do our morning wipe downs, I put one on their tummy and the other one I'm busy with. And mm-hmm. then I flip them around. I have noticed they prefer tummy time after their bottle, like after they've settled, when they're a little fuller and more, a little bit more satisfied with life. But I try to do little tummy time pockets. At the moment, tummy time where I get the longest stretches out of them is when they either on the pillow or, they've got something underneath them. Yeah. But as soon as I put them flat on the floor on a soft blanket or anything, they tend to not enjoy tummy time too much. Mm. But what I have started doing is, because in Melbourne, it's freezing cold. I mean, even in Cape Town, it's freezing cold. It's winter. I'm just aware of the fact that they're constantly in little socks. So whenever we've been doing tummy time, I just take the socks off. And if they wear little pants with booties, I make sure that like the house is warm. And I take the pants off just so that they can get their toes and their feet on the ground.
Yeah. No, that's lovely. Have they started to, they're obviously being this age, they started to lift their head up when they're in tummy time. Have they started to lift onto their arms a little bit or not quite yet?
They have started lifting themselves. I do position their arms underneath. Mm. And then something Luke is starting to do, but only when he's got the pillow underneath him or a blanket, is he started flipping himself. Like I was busy changing a nappy and I turned around and the baby was on his back. And I'm like, how did that happen? So it happens really quickly. Mm. But now I've noticed he's starting to lean to the one side and he realizes when he does that, he can roll and then That's stop amazing. Doing tummy time.
That's incredible. But that is the purpose of tummy time. Tummy time is an interesting thing. We don't do tummy time just for the sake of having them on their tummies. We literally do it to activate their back muscles so that they can learn to roll. Because we know that if they roll, and I think I've taken you through the sequence in a previous episode, we start with tummy time activating our back muscles. We'll also give them some back time in which they start to feel their knees, which will happen fairly soon. And that activation of their back muscles and their tummy muscles mean that they can roll. And once they're rolling, tummy time, for some reason, is a little less important. Then we start to talk more about just floor time, because it doesn't matter if they're on their tummy or their back anymore, because once they're rolling, they've kind of ticked that box. So that's really awesome. Another thing that you can try, so I would try two things to encourage the tummy time. The one is, I love the idea of having a little pillow or a little roll under their chest, because they will be happier if they're a little bit more supported. So that is a very good idea. And some moms might have those donuts, which are kind of round, kind of circular mats with a little bit of a raised edge around the side. So you can also put them on the edge of the donut. Or even if you've got a feeding pillow that you've now stopped using, you can even use that as your little kind of tummy time cushion. And the other thing that I would do, especially with twins, is to have them facing towards each other so that there's something interesting to lift my head to look at. And if you're a mom of a singleton, put a mirror in front of them so that there's something interesting to look at. So I think interest is also something that's really important, because it'll help them with that tummy time. But the fact that little Luke is already starting to roll is absolutely awesome. It's spot on. In fact, it's probably, there's some moms probably listening and going, oh, but my baby's not rolling, because it is, it's quite early. It's on the early side. So that's absolutely amazing. Well done.
Thank you. But we have established that Luke is a little bit more from a sensory profile, a bit more on the sensitive side. So less is more with him. Yeah. But he has been ticking some of the milestones first in comparison to his brother.
And of course, that's exactly what we'd expect, because when your sensory profile is a little bit more sensitive or your threshold is a little bit lower for sensory input, it means that you're taking in everything at a higher volume. So you're hearing more, you're noticing more, you are feeling more movement. And so all of those things activate the brain wiring, which means that they do develop a little bit faster. So that's amazing. So he's going to kind of chart the path and little Jordan will follow on behind.
Thank you.
So it sounds to me like you've had two massive wins, the rolling win and the sleeping through win. Tell me what else is happening.
Well, something I started to, a lot of my friends, my mommy community, most of their babies are slightly older than mine. So one, for example, singleton 3 weeks ahead, and she started introducing solids. My babies, if I just look at them, if I just look at their mannerisms, they are not nearly ready. Like when she starts talking about he mimics or he's very interested in watching them when they eat, I realized, oh my goodness, I don't really eat in front of the kids because I'm so busy with them. I only eat when they are down for a nap. So I think for me, a big thing is just now trying to figure out the cues for when are we going to be ready to start doing solids.
This episode is brought to us by ParentSense, the all-in-one baby and parenting app that helps you make the most of your baby's first year. Don't you wish someone would just tell you everything you need to know about caring for your baby? When to feed them, how to wean them, and why they won't sleep? ParentSense app is like having a baby expert on your phone guiding you to parent with confidence. Get a flexible routine, daily tips, and advice personalized for you and your little one. Download ParentSense app now from your app store and take the guesswork out of parenting.
So I think for me, a big thing is just now trying to figure out the cues for when are we going to be ready to start doing solids?
Yeah, so that is just such a great question, Zoe, and something that comes up for almost all moms at around about 3 to 5 months. Like, when is my babies, or when are my babies actually ready for solids? So I just want to just backtrack a little bit to the history of introducing solids. There was a time historically in the 1900s when solids was actually introduced very early, like as early as 6 weeks. And in fact, sometimes you even hear about it earlier. And then the trend became, we must rather introduce solids as late as possible for two reasons. And this was in the 1900s. And the idea was either that introducing solids too early was creating allergies, or that breastfeeding is the best for our babies until 6 months of age. And I'd just like to quickly address both of those things, and particularly for you in the context of Australia, which has the highest incidence of allergy in the world. So I'm just going to talk about those two scenarios. So first of all, on the breast is best until 6 months, it really is important that babies have breast milk for as long as possible. And so that's why the World Health Organization said breastfeed until 6 months of age. And it was particularly, and we've discussed this before in an episode, it was particularly in the context of Africa and developing countries where the option of formula milk healthily is not a good idea because they don't have access to clean water and so on. That doesn't really hold true for us in the Western world. And certainly for you, we've already discussed moving on to formula is something that is an option because we've got healthy water and we've got good access to formula tins. So that was the first rationale behind don't introduce solids before 6 months. The other one, which was don't introduce solids before 6 months because it'll increase the risk of allergy, has actually been proven to be completely the opposite. In fact, the later you wait to introduce certain allergens, the more high risk your baby is for allergy. And an example of that is that in like the 1990s, they would say, don't introduce peanuts or fish or egg until your baby's over 9 months. And in the countries that did that, like Australia and certain other Western countries, the incidence of allergies went up. And so, and in countries like Thailand, as an example, where peanuts are part of babies' diet from very early on, they have a very low incidence of allergy to peanut, as an example. So what we now know is that late introduction of solids is not an imperative. It's not something that we necessarily wanting to see. And so the advice has now been revised that you can introduce solids anytime between 17 weeks and 6 months of age. And of course, your boys are now approaching 17 weeks. And that's why you are thinking about this now. And that's why your friend has introduced solids at about 17 weeks. So anywhere between 17 weeks and 6 months is a good age. Specifically for your boys, it doesn't have to be at 17 weeks, definitely not. And so that's why in weaning sense, we say you've got to look for all these other reasons. And it's exactly what you've alluded to in that conversation was that actually you're not seeing the signals. So first things first, they need to be sitting well enough upright. When you pop them on your lap and you hold them around their hips, so just around the hips and their waist, they should actually be able to sit upright. That does not mean that they have to sit independently. It just means that their chin is off their chest and they're robust enough to do that. Now, when I see pictures of your little ones on Instagram and so on, I think they are there. They've got really good muscle tone. The head is off their chest. So anytime in the next couple of weeks, from that perspective, developmentally, they are probably ready. But the other thing you spoke about, which is very important, is a real interest in food. And until they are showing an interest in food, I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't introduce it. You can delay it to as late as 6 months if you want. Any later than that, we wouldn't recommend for the question, for the reasons I've just said. But certainly, I would wait for interest in food. Now, you say that you don't eat in front of them often, and because you are a twin mom and you're grabbing food as and when you can. But what I probably would do is I would start to try and actually have a couple of times when you and your hubby are eating in front of them, maybe on the weekends, that you're out at a little restaurant or a cafe and you've got them on your lap and you're eating so they can actually see you engaging with food. And what you'll find is probably within the next month, so as they're approaching 5 months, they probably will start to show an interest. They'll want to get things to their mouth and that'll be your indication that they would be ready. So the first indication is physical readiness. They probably are. Second one is psychosocial readiness, which is, are they interested? And then the third one is, are they not making it from one feed to the next? Now, by that, if they're not stretching 3 hours during the day between feeds and they start to really like appear to not be able to stretch between that, or if they start waking up very regularly at night, those two things probably indicate that they might also be ready. And the fact that they slept through last night shows as well that they have got more than enough nutrition in the day to see them through the night. So, yeah, I don't know if that's kind of helpful in terms of guidelines.
Oh, it's extremely helpful. I think the big thing is just us maybe eating in front of them. We just, I think for me, especially when I'm home alone with them, it was just always easier once they settled, once they're down for a nap, that's when I have my lunch or my snack. I need to start eating in front of them.
Yeah, and in showing them that meals are social and they're enjoyable. You know, I mean, we're much more focused now, not just on the nutrition of food, but on the social and the psychosocial aspects of food and the fact that we need to, it's a social occasion. And so, yeah, eating in front of them, eating with them over the next couple of weeks would probably be a good idea as they get ready for it. And then you'll find that they start to reach for something. And actually, you know, modern practices with breastfeeding that is really a trend that's happening worldwide is not to have in your head, right, it's going to happen on this date and it's going to happen at this time and I'm going to pre-prepare all the food. We really used to kind of focus very much on that. Usually now, your baby's first taste of food is something that is off your plate and that you kind of just kind of wipe across their tongue and they taste it and they think, oh, that was quite interesting. So maybe quite a nice thing to do in the next month is to have an opportunity where you've either got some, let's say, mashed butternut would be a lovely idea. Like when you and your husband are having a butternut for dinner or gem squash or some courgette or you're kind of one of your nice starchy vegetables. And just pass that across their lips. So now you're eating it, they're interested. And just pass it across their lips. Let them have a little taste of it and see whether or not it's interesting rather than sitting there with a spoon and trying to shove it into their mouth. So go a little bit more organically. And then when they're starting to enjoy that for a couple of days, then you can say, you know what? 11 o'clock every morning, we're going to, or whatever time it is, usually mid-morning is the best time. We don't like offering first tastes of solids in the evening for a couple of reasons. One is that they're often overtired and a little bit fractious and just a new thing is just one more thing they have to deal with. But also if they are going to have any reactions, you're putting them down to sleep and you actually for the whole night, you actually want to be able to watch. They're very, very, very unlikely to have any reactions to things like a starchy vegetable like butternut, but you would want to do that. So 11 o'clock in the morning, then you start to introduce the solids and then it becomes every day at around 11 o'clock, you give them some sort of starchy vegetable. And that's what we like to start with, are starchy vegetables rather than fruit and rather than porridges. So again, old fashioned, and you probably, it's now so long gone that you probably don't even know about it now, but mums kind of 5 to 10 years ago, we're all being told that they must give their babies porridge. And we now know that that's not necessarily the best starter food. Our best starter foods are vegetables.
Okay. Oh, that's good. You've given me great tips. Thank you.
Pleasure. Yeah. And then when you get to that point, you can then make up a batch on a Sunday to last you for the week. And then you kind of boil up a whole lot of butternut. And then what is quite nice to do is to actually, when you start to offer them their foods, have your a mushed bowl that you've maybe prepared on a Sunday of either one starchy veggie or even a combination of starchy veggies, so you can start combining them quite quickly. And then to give them a little bit to actually of really well-steamed, mushy block of butternut that they can, or a finger of courgette that they can just kind of hold on and kind of suck themselves. And then you start to have a much more organic approach again to weaning, which is you do some with a spoon, they do some with their hands, and that can work quite nicely, especially with twins.
Oh, yes. I'll need to get creative there.
No, I think it'll go more smoothly, and it's actually quite a fun stage. Have you got the Weaning Sense book, Zoe?
I do. Yes, I do. I'm slowly making my way through it. So I have, I got it this week. It's actually on the kitchen counter right now, and read the beginning, read the intro, and I'm about to approach the, I think it's chapter 2 about the cues, just to figure out if they're ready. Yes.
Brilliant. And you'll hear all those tips in there. And then the other chapter you're going to find super interesting is the chapter on sensory personalities, because the way we wean our babies does relate to their sensory personality. And so with Luke, who is more a little bit more sensitive, he actually will prefer blander foods. And with Jordan, who is more adventurous, he's going to really prefer quite flavored foods. So an example of that, what you could do there is when you're doing the butternut, so maybe then you just offer Luke the butternut with a little bit of butter in it, which is always a lovely little fat to pop in, or some cream cheese or whatever once he's onto that. But with Jordan, you can go much more adventurous. So you can have butternut with cinnamon in or cardamom. So he'll prefer to have a little bit more flavor popped in as well. And you'll start to see the differences in their palates as well when that comes along.
Thank you. I'm definitely going to have my hands full with just it, because that's one of the things I'm really enjoying is just seeing how different their personalities are. I caught on camera Jordan having a laugh out loud moment, and it was the first time it got captured on camera, so I was able to send it to the family, and Luke just like silently laughs. So they're completely different. They're extremely different already.
Yeah, no, they really, and you'll see it as they grow up. And isn't it wonderful that they are, because they are, you know, they're each going to have their own space in the world, and that's what's so important. So it's lovely.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. So we've definitely looked at the questions of the moment, and we've looked at some of the wins. The other thing I wanted to just touch on was you really are doing the juggle incredibly. I mean, I'm watching you doing Stephanie TWS's fitness program. And moms, if you haven't done it and you are postnatal, look up, what is her Instagram handle? Is it just TWS?
She is, I think she's TWS Train with Stephanie. If you just search Train with Stephanie, she'll pop up. Because I started doing her workouts during lockdown, and without thinking much of it, you know, it's a 30-minute workout here. I started off with her low impact program, which I really loved because I didn't feel like doing all the jumpy exercises. And I really didn't think I was going to see a difference. And, you know, you put your before photo and your after photo and you don't really think much of it, and you put it next to each other and you're like, oh, I see a slight difference. And for me, the best is just her workouts are 25 to 35 minutes long. It's not long. It's that one thing that I now do for myself in the mornings. Yeah. And some days I get to, you know, strike it lucky where I get to do my workout first thing in the morning before the boys wake up. Other mornings my alarm goes off and I can hear them starting to fuss, and I'm like, okay, well, I might as well wait till after they feed. Then I'm guaranteed an uninterrupted session.
They're fabulous. I did her workouts a few years ago, and I've had it on the podcast as well, because her advice is so lovely. So yeah, definitely something. And maybe we should just think about doing a session with her, because her advice is so fabulous. It really is.
Yeah, she's really amazing. And I love watching her Instagram stories, because her little one is there with her when she trains. Yeah. And I said to her, oh my gosh, that's going to be me one of these days with two little ones, just, you know, being part of the routine, just getting into all the things where they probably shouldn't get into. But yeah, I think for us, one of the things with our move that we are considering now is buying additional furniture pieces. And I'm just becoming so mindful that we have two little boys and they will probably climb onto chests of drawers. They'll climb onto shelves. So we're just being extra mindful of the type of furniture we now acquire. Because I think I've seen too many videos online of little boys getting into an open chest of drawers and climbing and then toppling over.
Yeah, and we'll definitely, as they get moving in our podcast, we'll start talking about baby-proofing the house. It certainly is something. Definitely something to think about. And then before we head off, I'm very interested, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are as well. You did a massive thing, which is your mom left, and pretty much the same week you moved from Sydney to a new city. You had had your church community in Sydney and were very happily established there. That's a big move. How have you found that kind of on an emotional level? And also, are you managing to recreate a village?
Haven't recreated my village yet. We've been in Melbourne for just over a month now, and I think that's the thing I've been struggling with the most. I love getting out for a walk, but it's winter, so it's been a little bit more rainy, and there's some days where the sky looks threatening and I'm like, I'm not going to risk going for a walk. I don't feel like putting the rain covers on the stroller and walking with an umbrella. It's just not worth it for me to get wet. So that's been a bit challenging. I did sign up to some baby sensory classes, but that's only starting in 3 weeks' time. So I still have to wait quite a while before I meet some moms. I went to our local library. I missed the story time, but I mean, they're not catering the story time for babies under 1 year of age. And I'm hoping to meet other moms that have babies similar ages. So, yeah, making friends in a new city with two little ones, it's probably my biggest challenge at the moment. We are going to check out a new church for the first time on Sunday. So hopefully it's a church we like and it's not a case of us hopping around to find a church where we feel at home. And I'm pretty confident once we find a church that we like, you tend to make friends quicker. I think it's very difficult when you move in winter.
Yeah. And you know, it's incredible. I mean, two things stand out for me there. One is that you're doing all the right things. I mean, you know, getting yourself out to, you know, into baby sensory classes, which, I mean, out of interest, my third child, that's where I made all of her friends that are her friends to this day. She literally last night, I mean, she's now, you know, she's now 20 and she literally last night had drinks with her friend that she met at Mums and Tots in South Africa. And she had it in London, and that was her very first friend, you know. So you do make your friends there. You'll make your friends at church. I think what is must feel real as well that came across is that there are moments of real loneliness when all you're doing is just catering for little babies. It's really hard as a mum. And I think, you know, we don't always talk about that enough, but there are moments where you must feel like, oh my gosh, the drudgery and nothing for me.
Oh, my husband's incredible in that regard, where he will, you know, he comes home, he's like, why don't you just go take a long bath? Or on a weekend, he'll be like, I'll take care of the boys. Just get out the house. Here's, you know, just go get your hair done, which is all good and well, but you miss that social, especially me being a social being. I love having friends. So I do have my best friend that lives in Adelaide, her and her family, they're coming to visit next week. So I'm really looking forward to her visit. Mm-hmm. What has helped, even though mom is not with us, she's still in Australia. She's visiting my sister. So at least she's in the same time zone. And that has kind of eased the transition a lot, where we're on video call. So while I'm feeding the boys, I'm on a video call with my mom. I think with that 8-hour time difference between Australia and South Africa, that I've struggled with the most, because as soon as everyone is up and running, I'm overstimulated. By 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I do not want to be on my cell phone. And that's when the world wakes up, well, my old world. So that's been a bit of a struggle, but it's been a blessing still having mom in the same time zone.
That's loved is she going to visit before she heads back to South Africa, before she goes all the way back?
Unfortunately not. Her flight is leaving. If we were still staying in Sydney, that would have been the case. But her flight's leaving from Sydney. Mm. So I think it's just for her being a nervous traveller, it's just easier to, when she leaves Queensland, to hop onto her flight in Sydney and then travel back to South Africa. But I think there's talks of her potentially coming at the end of the year again. But it would have been very special to have had her seen the boys where they're at now. Because when she met them for the first time, they were only 4 weeks old.
I know, unbelievable. Well, she's been gone from South Africa for a long time, hey, because, I mean, that's like an 8-week trip. That's incredible.
She's approaching 3 months, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, she must love it. I think
she's ready to go home.
Yeah. Oh, shame. Lovely. Well, Zoe, we are all thinking about you and really appreciate you sharing so candidly your joys, the challenges, and then also the questions of the moment. So thank you very much for your time today, and we will chat again soon.
Thank you, Meg. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
Thanks to everyone who joined us. We will see you the same time next week. Until then, download ParentSense app and take the guesswork out of parenting.